Take your Bibles and turn over to the book of Romans, please. Romans chapter 1. And we continue in our series, a walk through the book of Romans. And we are still in chapter 1. And we're just going to look at one verse this morning. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16. Let me get there. The Bible says in Romans 1 and verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." We obviously just sang this song, "I'm Not Ashamed," and certainly the message this morning prompted that. But I want to show you this morning that in these two verses, or this one verse of Scripture here, it presents to us really one of the greatest summaries of the gospel that there is. In this verse, Paul gives a very clear description and declaration of God's power and God's purpose in the message of the gospel. He says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth." And Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of this gospel." And the question I want you to ask yourself this morning, am I ashamed of the gospel? Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Are you?" is the question. And there's going to be two applications this morning. There may be some here this morning who don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The application for you is that the gospel is being presented. You have an opportunity to do business with God, to have your sins forgiven, to have a relationship with God, to make peace with God. The other application is for the saints of God. What are you doing with this gospel that you've benefited so much from? Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of this gospel." Well, first of all, I want to consider some reasons why some would be ashamed of the gospel. And one of those reasons, in Paul's day at least, and maybe even in our day, but in Paul's day at least, the moral condition of that day could have been a reason why someone would be ashamed of the gospel. At the time, Nero was the emperor of Rome. He was wicked. He was degenerate. The city of Rome was a cesspool of sin. And Paul is writing to the saints of God in Rome, and they were surrounded by the wicked conditions and wicked living. But the gospel that Paul preached with its demands of repentance toward God, its demands of holiness, its demands of godly living, that gospel was diametrically opposed to the culture of the day. And if there was one who wanted to fit into the culture or didn't want to be standing out and separate from the culture, look, they would be ashamed of the gospel because it had nothing to do with and it was completely opposite the condition of the culture. That could be a reason why one would be ashamed. Another reason might be the message that Paul preached was incredibly and nearly beyond belief. Consider the truth of the gospel. Think of it. The Savior that Paul preached claimed to be the Son of God, claimed to be God Himself, claimed to be man at the same time. But His death, His crucifixion, was surrounded in shame because He died on a Roman cross. And Roman crucifixion was all about shame. It was a symbol of shame. And if that wasn't enough, this Savior that Paul preached, this crucified Christ, rose from the dead the third day, according to the Scriptures. To many people who are steeped in their pride, the claims of the gospel are nothing but foolishness. Someone rose from the dead, alive forevermore. Well, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul bears this out. This is the thinking. In verse 18, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. We've been looking at these verses in our 1 Corinthians series. In verse 19, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Those words are important words. Bring to nothing means to disesteem. The word understanding means intelligence. And the word prudent there is a very similar word to understanding, and it means the intelligent. So in other words, those who think that they're smart, those who think they're intelligent in this world, God says that in His wisdom He'll destroy and bring to nothing and disesteem the intelligence of the intelligent. Where is the wise? Where is the disputer of this world? He goes on to say. The preaching of the cross to the world is foolishness. The message of the cross is foolishness to the world and to those who are steeped in their pride. And you know what? Things haven't changed very much, have they? In Paul's day, the Greeks thought that it was foolishness, the Gentiles. And so the message that Paul preached was incredibly, nearly beyond belief. And so one might be ashamed of the gospel. Another reason is that everywhere Paul went preaching the cross, he faced persecution. We don't have the time to look at it all, but he was imprisoned when he was in Philippi in Acts chapter 16. He was chased out of Thessalonica in Acts chapter 17 for preaching the gospel. He had to be smuggled out of Berea because they wanted to kill him in Acts chapter 17. He was mocked in Athens. What will this babbler say? Was the attitude of the people. He was stoned in Galatia. Many wouldn't be able to endure that kind of persecution. And thus ashamed of the gospel of Christ. But Paul said, I'm not ashamed. And the question is why? Why was Paul not ashamed of the gospel? After all, many in our day are ashamed of the gospel as well. What is it that Paul knew? What did he understand? What was it that kept him preaching this hated gospel for the glory of God? Well, the answer to those questions is found in the very truths that Paul reveals in this verse. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." And I want to consider this morning in this verse and remind us this morning that we have a gospel to be proud of. Amen? And we're going to preach on this thought, I'm not ashamed. Let's pray and we'll begin. Heavenly Father, I pray that You'd speak to hearts. Accomplish Your will. Father, I pray that Your Spirit would fill this place. Father, I pray that You'd rebuke the devil. Father, he have no place here. Father, that distractions would be eliminated and, Lord, that Your presence and Your Spirit would be felt this morning. And I pray that You take Your word, Father, apply it in each heart. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first principle I want to bring out this morning, or the first reason why Paul was not ashamed of the gospel, he said, because the gospel was powerful. In verse 16, he said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. The gospel is powerful. He says that it's the power of God. The word power here comes from a word that refers to the might or the energy or the force or the strength that dwells within God. And he says the gospel is the power of God. Listen, God could have revealed His power against sin in any way that He chose. He is the Almighty God. He could have wiped men off the face of the earth. Men's sin is offensive to God. God is a just God who will bring judgment on sin. He could have wiped people off the face of the earth. He could have started all over. He could have done whatever He wanted to do because He's the Almighty God. But it is a blessing to note that when God moved to do something about sin, He exercised His power in sending us the gospel of Jesus Christ. So that you and I would have an opportunity to have peace with God. The gospel is powerful. It's powerful to save. Paul says here, it's the power. Look at verse 16. He says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation. The gospel is powerful to save. The word salvation here is the Greek word soteria, and it means to rescue or to deliver. All right? So the gospel, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God. It's powerful to rescue or to deliver, is what he's saying. But to rescue or deliver from what is the question? Well, the answer is to rescue and to deliver from the power and the penalty of sin. The word salvation in the Old Testament and in the New Testament means exactly the same thing. And the word salvation was often used in the Old Testament, and it had the idea of God delivering his people from circumstances in which they were powerless to deliver themselves. Many times God saved the nation of Israel, and they were powerless to rescue themselves from situations. They were doomed to destruction without God's help, and their salvation was in the Lord. Sometimes the context of that salvation was physical deliverance from enemies. Other times, it was to rescue from sin and its consequences. Look with me in Psalm 51. David proclaims this. Psalm 51 is David's penitential psalm after he had sinned with Bathsheba, and Nathan the prophet revealed to him his own sin. Not that he didn't even know it, but he was blinded by his own flesh, and then God exposed it, and he went through a period of repentance and sorrow and lamenting over his sin. And Psalm 51 is his penitential psalm, and he says in verse 14, "Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness." David knew where deliverance came from. It came from the Lord. "Deliver me, O God, thou God of my salvation." This is how the word was used in the Old Testament. God delivering his people from circumstances in which they're powerless to rescue themselves. Now, in the New Testament, the word save, saved, salvation, it carries the exact same meaning. Only the salvation is found in God the Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me in Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, verse 21. The Bible says, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." What does the word salvation mean? It's the Greek word soteria. It means to rescue, to deliver. And the Bible says that his name is Jesus, for he shall save, rescue, deliver his people from what? From their sin. Look in Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. See with me verse 25. Hebrews 7, verse 25. "Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." This salvation is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the essential truth that I'm trying to get across to you this morning is that Jesus Christ delivers us from that which we cannot rescue ourselves: the power and the penalty of sin. Sin has eternal consequences. And we cannot rescue ourselves from those eternal consequences. And Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's powerful to save. It's powerful unto salvation to save me, to rescue me, to deliver me from that which I cannot rescue myself, the eternal consequences of my sin." Now, to be a Christian in a biblical sense and to be saved, they're one and the same thing. There's all kinds of Christians in our world today, but they're not biblical Christians. They're not truly saved or born again. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that there's only one way to be saved, to be rescued, to be delivered. It's through the gospel of Jesus Christ. There's only one Savior. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says, neither is there salvation in any other. No other. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Every individual, listen, every individual the world over is in need of salvation from sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. Here's a holy God. Here is sinful men who've offended a holy God because of their sin, enemies with God, and deserving of God's wrath and God's judgment, and the wages, what we've earned for our sin, is death. And this is exactly why God the Father sent His Son to step in between the wrath of God upon sinful men, a way to have the wrath of God appeased through Jesus Christ. Those who put their faith and their trust in the work of Christ for their sin can have peace with God. We need to be saved. We need salvation. We need to be rescued from our sin. And Jesus, when He hung on that cross, He took the blows of God's wrath upon Himself, and He died in our place. And this is the gospel, the message of the gospel, the good news, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. It is powerful unto salvation. Amen? To take away the wrath of God upon sinful men. And His shed blood paid that full penalty for my sin. Look with me in Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3, verse 24. Verse 23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The word for means because. All right? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. Here the Bible says that the redemption is found in Christ, and God has taken Christ and He set Him forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood. The word propitiation, it means an appeasement. And so God has set Him forth to be an appeasement. An appeasement of what? Of God's wrath upon our sin. God set Jesus Christ forth to take the place and to appease the wrath of God that abides upon you and me as sinful men. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, turn over there with me, please. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13, the Bible says here, speaking of Christ, He's in verse 12. Verse 12 says that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also have trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, look at this, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. And He says in verse 13 that those of you who've trusted in Christ, after you heard the word of truth, what is the word of truth? It's the gospel of your salvation. The gospel is powerful. The gospel has the power to save because its message points us to the one who can save, the Savior. We see that Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel because it's powerful. Powerful unto my salvation, my rescue, my deliverance from the wrath of God on my sin. But the gospel is also powerful enough to deliver. What does the word salvation mean? It means to rescue. It means to deliver. The gospel is powerful to deliver. Paul knew firsthand about the power of this gospel. And we note this because Paul's life before he was saved was drastically different than after he was saved. Before Paul was saved, the Bible says that he was a blasphemer. He said of himself, he was the chiefest of sinners. In fact, look over there with me in 1 Timothy chapter 1. 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul's life was drastically changed by the gospel of Jesus Christ. He was delivered. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 12, follow this with me. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. The gospel is powerful enough to deliver, to change. And Paul knew firsthand the power of this gospel. And listen, nowhere is the power of God as visible as it is in the gospel of Jesus Christ, my friend. Think about it. When God takes a lost, sinful, offensive, hell-bound sinner and saves him by His grace, He takes them and He changes them and makes them a brand new creature in Christ Jesus. Listen, that's a powerful thing. To change a nature that we could never change. We are who we are as sinful people. We cannot change our nature. A leopard can't change its can't change its spots. Amen. We can't change our nature, but when God saves us by His grace, He makes us brand new in Christ Jesus and makes all things new, and it's a powerful thing to deliver. Now we're set free from the chains and the bondage of our sin. What we could never change ourselves from, never rescue ourselves from. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I say this all of the time when I'm talking to people. Listen, you say that you're saved. You say that you know Jesus Christ is your Savior, but if there has never been a drastic change in your life, you don't have the same salvation, because the gospel is powerful to change. The attitudes change, the lifestyle changes, the want-tos change. Listen, there's a love for God that God puts in the heart that you cannot have yourself. You cannot make it yourself. The Lord puts it in there, and now after you're saved, you want nothing more than to please the One who has delivered your soul. Even if you're a good person, grew up in a Christian home per se, don't really have all of the baggage and the lifestyle of sin, attached to your life that you bring with you. You haven't really done a lot of worldly things. Hey, there's not a lot to change from. Listen, I'm telling you, there's still a drastic, drastic change. Because the heart attitude changes. All of the attitudes change. You know, I know some who grew up in that kind of a situation. And maybe in their teen years, they were good kids. They didn't really have a lot of sin, per se, like the world does, and all the baggage and so on. But they came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And all of a sudden, it was like, whoa! You are not the same person. And it's not because your lifestyle drastically changed. It's your attitude that changed. It's a mark of salvation, a changed life. The gospel has power to change. If there has not been a change, there's been no rescue. no deliverance, no salvation. A life that is weighed down in the chains of sin. It's ruined by sin. God miraculously takes and makes brand new through the power of the gospel. The power of sin to enslave has been broken. My chains are gone. I've been set free. I'm no longer in the slave market of sin because the gospel of Jesus Christ bought me out of that slave market and he broke my chains and I'm free. Amen? That's the gospel. That's the power of the gospel to change. And as a saved person, Jesus Christ, through the presence of the Holy Spirit of God, now lives in the believer. And he gives us the power and the determination and the desire to live a holy life. And the power of sin is broken. Amen. Notice here, go back to Romans 1 and verse 16. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. But notice that Paul says it's the gospel of Christ. Now, I'm making a distinction here because it's important. In the world that we live in, it's important. Paul says it's the gospel of Christ. And make no mistake about it, friend, there are many different gospels that are being proclaimed in our world today. But they're not the same kind. They're not the same gospel. There's the gospel of religion that says, you know, all you need to do is just turn over a new leaf. You know, you've made some mistakes in your life, and you know, you come to Jesus and you pull yourself up by your bootstraps, you turn over a new leaf and make a difference in your life. There's the gospel of liberalism, which pervades, quote, Christianity today. That says, you know what, I'm okay, you're okay, God accepts us like we are, he'll take us to heaven. There's a lot of churches where their mantra is, just come as you are and stay the same. And they want to make everybody feel good, you know, you just come in, we're accepting of everyone. You just come on in and you just stay the same, just like you are. You know what, God wants to change you. We can't stay the same because if we stay the same, our eternity is in the lake of fire. God wants to change us. We don't need to stay the same. That's the gospel of liberalism. There's the social gospel that is all over our society, that God wants everybody to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. But you know the gospel of Jesus Christ? The gospel that Paul preached didn't have anything to do with social reform. It didn't have anything to do with social justice or political change. Rather than attempting to change governments and institutions, which are made up of people, the gospel and Jesus came to change a person's heart. The true gospel says that we are sinners, that we've offended God. If we die in our sin, we're going to go to a devil's hell. However, because God loved us, he sent his son Jesus Christ into this world, and Jesus died on that cross to take your place. If you put your faith and trust in him, you can have peace with God and be eternally saved. That is the true gospel. A gospel that doesn't preach repentance is not a true gospel. All you have to do is believe on Jesus. Just believe on Jesus. Yep, you got to believe on Jesus. But it is repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. A gospel that does not preach and teach repentance is not the true gospel. And every life that is redeemed by the true gospel of Jesus Christ is a life that has changed forever. Let me ask you this question. Do you know this saving power? Do you know the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ? It's powerful. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it because it's the power of God unto salvation. Secondly, Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, not only because it's powerful, but because the gospel is also simple. The gospel is simple. Verse 16, go back there, Romans 1 and verse 16. It tells us in no uncertain terms exactly how this gospel message of salvation is activated. Now notice what he says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth." The gospel is simple. It's not complicated. And this makes it perfectly clear that real salvation and biblical salvation has nothing to do with complicated religious rituals or some ornate, elaborate religious exercise or ceremony. It's simply putting our faith and our trust in Jesus Christ. Salvation is the product of faith. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. This is the point where many people stumble. Because there's a lot of religious people. They like to do things for themselves. They like to feel like they've got a part. But the matter of salvation, when it comes to the matter of salvation, the sinner has no part except for believing. Except for repenting of their sin and believing on Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 8 says, "For by grace are you saved." Now, the word grace means unmerited favor. It also means divine enablement. And the Bible says, "For by grace, by unmerited favor, are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And like I said, this is the point where most people stumble. Because they want to have a part, or they think that they can be good enough. But salvation only comes to a person who is willing to simply receive the message of salvation in Jesus Christ alone. It's simple. I wish we had the time to explore more of this. But John chapter 3 and verse 16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." It's not really believing that Jesus exists. A lot of people believe Jesus existed. But it's believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and His work of salvation on our behalf. His shed blood to pay for our sin. I'm thankful that the Lord has kept His gospel easy to understand. Amen. It's simple. And Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of it because it's powerful and it's simple." And the question this morning is, have you believed the gospel? But thirdly and lastly, Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel." Why? Because it's for all mankind. Romans 1:16, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believeth." This gospel is for all mankind, to everyone. This great gospel message is for every person in this world. And listen, this tells us that there is no one who is beyond the reach of the power of the gospel. Some people say, "Well, I'm just too bad. God can't forgive me." That's a lie of the devil, and maybe an excuse just so you don't have to believe the gospel. No one's out of reach of the power of the gospel. It's to everyone that believeth. Note these words of Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 22. Revelation chapter 22. And look with me in verse 17. "And the Spirit and the bride say, Come. And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." Look in John chapter 6. Book of John chapter 6. Verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Here's the words of Jesus. Him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. The promise of the gospel. Listen, the promise of the gospel is that anyone who hears this message and sees their need of salvation and who understands their guilt and their sin before God and who by faith accepts the fact that Jesus paid my price, I can't do that. I put my faith and my trust in Him. God, I'm sorry for my offense to you. Anybody who comes to that understanding will be changed by this gospel. Look in Romans chapter 10. God will save by His precious grace all who come to Him by faith. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Note verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. That word Greek, it's a word that was basically used for just Gentiles. And there's no difference between Jews and Gentiles. For the same Lord is over all, and He's rich unto all that call upon Him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The gospel is powerful. The gospel is simple. The gospel is for anyone. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Salvation has always been whosoever will. And these verses make it clear here that salvation is for anyone, regardless of a person's ethnicity, regardless of a person's social standing, their ability, their wickedness, their weakness. It doesn't matter. There's nothing that can prevent somebody from being saved except for the sin of unbelief. That's the only thing. We've been given a gospel that's worth believing. But we've been given a gospel that's also worth sharing. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of it. And the question as we bring these thoughts together here this morning is this. Number one, are you trusting the gospel of Christ for your salvation? But number two, are you sharing the gospel like Paul did? And number three, are you ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you're ashamed of it, you're not going to be sharing it. The same message that was able to save in Paul's day is able to save now. The same power that worked in Paul's day is working in our day. And the gospel of Jesus Christ, listen, friend, it doesn't need any modification. We don't need to soften the blow. That's the reason why people say all you got to do is just believe on Jesus, and they don't ever talk about repentance. They're trying to soften the message to bring the people in. What people need is to hear that they're sinners, that they're condemned before God, that the wrath of God abides on them, that they're in jeopardy of an eternity without God. That's what people need to hear. Gospel doesn't need any modification. It doesn't need any alteration. All it needs is for those who know it and those who've experienced its power to share it. And when we do, the Holy Spirit of God will take that gospel, that is the power of God unto salvation, and draw sinners to faith in Jesus Christ. Romans 10, we read through verse 13, but if you keep on reading here, look in verse 13 and following. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So there's the offer of salvation. But then look what the direction goes. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. At the same time that he says that this gospel is powerful and that it's a whosoever will gospel, he turns the guns and he says, how are they going to call on someone they haven't believed on? And how are they going to believe on someone who they've never heard? And how are they going to hear unless you preach the gospel? But if you're ashamed of the gospel, you're not going to preach it. How are you doing when it comes to sharing that message, saint of God? Some of you may sit here this morning and you can't remember the last time that you were a witness for Jesus Christ. Some of you might be sitting here this morning and there have been opportunities presented to you, but because of fear, you've kept your mouth shut. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It has changed my life. It's the power of God unto salvation, and it's for everyone who will believe. Listen, all that is needed is for God's people who know the gospel, who've had their lives changed by it, simply to share it. You've been put in your sphere of influence for a very particular reason. Share the gospel. The people you know, the people you work with, neighbors, acquaintances, they need to hear the gospel. They need to hear it from you. If you're saved, prayerfully, you are not ashamed of the gospel. You know its power. And then there should be a desire within you to share that gospel with those who do not know its power. And there's no better time than right now to get busy. Amen? Two applications this morning. The gospel of Christ, it's for everyone. It's powerful to change your life. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, today's the day that you can have peace with God. The other application is for saints of God. How are you doing when it comes to sharing this gospel? Are you ashamed of it? Or like Paul, do you boldly declare the power of this gospel? I'm not ashamed of it, for it's the power of God unto salvation. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd accomplish your purpose this morning in each heart. You can see into the hearts of men. I cannot. Father, I pray that your Spirit would be at work to move in this place. Father, that people would be quick to do business with God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.